Welcome to the Maria Heller Show. On the net since 2000 and still going strong. If you feel like you're not getting the real news, if you feel like you're not connected spiritually, you have found your home. Maria covers a wide range of topics as only a snarky New Yorker can. Straight up, no chaser. No censorship, no corporate sponsors, thus true freedom of speech. Your subscription gives you unlimited access as a member of the smartest audience on earth. Relax and enjoy the education. Now here's Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to The Bigger Picture, one of the most important shows of the month, our spiritual shows. They help us to stay in balance, for sure, and give us an understanding of things that are really important. With my friend, my co-host, author, Michael Rakia, we're going to talk about his latest book in the Joseph Communications, The Spaces Between, Unseen Forces That Shape Your Life. Good morning, Michael, even though I know it's nighttime where you are.
Good morning, Maria. It's great to be with you again.
It's always good to have you with me. And, you know, I do flip this show over to a lot of other places, and I'll tell you what, you have a lot of fans. There are a lot of people that love your work.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you.
Well, they seem to like us together, so there you have it.
Yes.
So they keep telling people there's only one truth, so it's not surprising that you and I agree on so much of what you've, you know, channeled through all these years.
Absolutely.
Michael, before we get into the book, I have some questions from some listeners, and I thought I would put that out. He said his first one is about trust. How can we trust, he said, not only ourselves and spirit guides, or, you know, because we're in the mess we're in because we trusted as angelic beings in a new way to explore creation. So I think he's asking, how do we trust ourselves if we are angelic beings and we screwed up so royally with the fall?
Yes, I mean, we've got to prove that we can trust ourselves. We've got to prove that the information we're receiving is correct. And I know we've said it many times over the shows, but the only way to do that is to go to the center that you can trust, and that is your heart center. In other words, rather than relying on your head mind, on your conscious thoughts for guidance through your life, through the various challenges in your life, you have to take those challenges within and listen. You have to present them to your higher self, to the divinity that is you, that is within you. And you have to be very patient once you've done that. You have to listen, take your emotions out of the equation, and listen and feel for an answer from your heart center. And then when you get that answer, if you apply it to your life, to the challenges in your life, and it proves to be correct, which it will prove to be correct and the right path for you, then you gain trust in what you're doing, in your ability to go within and to examine any challenge in your life and to make the right decision and to get the right information about it and to act in the right way about it. So you're not, in effect, trusting your spirit guides, you're trusting yourself. And as we say in the book, you are your own spirit guide. We have helpers from the higher vibrations who come to help us with challenges as friends here, help us with challenges and help us to make the right decisions. But ultimately, any challenge in our life has to be met by ourselves, by our own trust in the divinity within, and by our own actions based on trusting that divinity within. So yes, we can trust, but by all means, we have to prove that that trust is correct. Now, it's no use going to the head, to the heart mind and saying, well, yeah, I think this is what I'm hearing. You have to be clear about what you are saying to yourself. And you have to be clear that you are not influencing those that information that comes from your spirit self through your emotions or through your desires for things to work out in a certain way, which is why I said at the beginning, it's important that you take emotion out of the equation. It's important that you go into the silence, go into the chamber of the heart and listen once you've put your questions and ask for advice within that chamber. Listen to what is being said to you. and you'll get a feeling from your heart. You will sometimes get a voice from your heart. You'll certainly get a vibration from your heart that says yes or no, or this direction or that direction. And those are the things that we can trust. Those are the things we can prove to ourselves, build up that trust, and go in any challenge to the heart.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely excellent what you just said. And, you know, when I tell people, you know, Buddha didn't say to detach from your emotions completely. What he meant was just don't let your emotions control you.
Yes, yes. Or color your decisions.
Right.
Influence your decisions, because you're going to the heart for help. You're going to the heart for help. So don't color that help.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be flexible enough to listen or feel what is being said to you without that emotional charge, that emotional spin that you're putting onto those challenges. And then you can move forwards with the right decisions and acting on the right information.
Right. Well, you know, he also said that he's always gone with his intuition.
Yes.
And what felt good or right at the time. He said, but isn't that what got us into this mess in the first place?
Yeah, I see the point. But once we've recognized that there is something wrong here, and you'd be surprised at how many people don't recognize that there's something that needs to be altered. Once we've recognized that something is wrong here, then we have to have a way out of it. And that the person that we can trust the most is the God within, is the higher self within. There has to be a start point, and there has to be something that we accept as being the right motivation. Now, of course, it depends on what motivation we're going to the heart center with. If we're saying, you know, God make me powerful, or God make me rich, or I want this relationship to turn out in a certain way, then that is not going to the heart center with the right intention. We have to go to the right, to the heart center and say, look, we know there's something wrong. We want to put it right, both personally and globally.
Mm-hmm.
Show me how to do that. Show me what steps to take so that I cause no harm, and so that I bring light into every situation that I encounter, so that I approach everyone in my life with light, so that I surround myself with light, and so that I elevate my vibrations. And if we do that, sooner rather than later, we realize that we can trust ourselves and that the information that we feel through the heart center is absolutely correct for us and an absolutely correct way to approach others and the world.
Right. Well, you know, I do know that the person asking this question is one of my students, and he's quite excellent.
So yes, I'd like to
share another way of looking at it, because it's a question people have asked me for decades, Michael. You know, how do I really trust myself? How do you know when you're really standing in trust of the universe?
Yeah.
And, you know, I always tell the story when I was young, I often wondered, how will I know when I'm not young anymore? And, you know, the years tick by. I used to think, is it going to be when I'm 21? Is it going to be when I'm 30, 40, 50, 60? And the truth of the matter is, it happened, but I can't tell you when it happened. And I feel it's the same way with trusting spirit, trusting the universe. You work it and you keep going. And then one day you just realize that you totally stand in trust. You may not be able to put your finger on when that happened or what exactly happened to make that happen. But then you just know. The knowing is just there. And you say, well, that happened.
Yes, and that's a very good point, Maria, isn't it? With knowing versus belief. Because if we believe something, we believe we trust ourselves. Belief is something that you have to shore up. You have to put energy into to maintain a belief. You have to examine it every so often and say, do I still believe this?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing simply is. As you say, it's a sort of quantum change in the way that you approach life and the way that you feel about life. You just know it.
Mm-hmm.
And once you know something, you don't have to revisit it to see if it's still true. It is part of you.
Right. You know, I remember many, many years ago when I was first studying and reading the tarot for people, I used to question in my head, am I making this stuff up, or is this real, or, you know, does this have any value? And then after, you know, years of doing it, I totally trust what comes through me now for people.
Yeah.
I can't tell you when that happened. I don't ever second guess myself. And even if it's something that sounds so ridiculous, I still deliver that message. And I'll tell you something funny, Michael. This woman, she was middle-aged. She had her daughter that was in college. She had called for a reading one day. And while I was reading for her, everything on the surface looked so normal, okay? But out of the blue, I get, and I told her, I said, look, this is going to sound crazy to you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I said, it just looks to me like you and your daughter want to run away and join the circus. And she started to laugh. And I said to her, why are you laughing? And she said, because we both want to get into Cirque du Soleil. So you learned, you know, when you have those experiences and you don't block the information, even if it doesn't sound right to you, you end up being pleasantly surprised. I got a kick out of that. And I always remembered that. All right. I have another question. He has somehow interpreted that your work is calling for non-participation in the system, but continuing to add light to the system. And he doesn't understand that. So he's like, you know, if you're talking about the system, whether it's education, medical, banking, political, et cetera, are we supposed to just stay out of all of it? And how could you do that when that's the way this world is?
What Jules is saying is that we look at various aspects of society, and instead of blindly accepting them, we question them. We question them from a spiritual point of view, and if we find them lacking, or if we find that there are areas that need to be improved or changed, we work through the light and through being vocal to change those areas, to question the status quo, and to say, if the status quo is wrong, then we've got to go against it. It's not that we don't participate, it's that we participate in a different way. It's that we show ourselves to be thinkers in a different way, and that we act in a different way. And we have to do that. We have to work from within. Just as we've incarnated here to please God, take part in a mission to bring light here, we have to work from within all the situations in our lives to bring that light into those areas. But we don't sort of sit on a rock and think, well, I'll just let life go on. No, we've got an opportunity in life to change things. And as I've said many times before, we're changing things by introducing enough light to allow other souls to illuminate, to allow other souls to examine their condition and also find it wanting and also find it in need of change. So it's not non-participation. In fact, it's a very active participation in life, but not in the way that society dictates life should be. And not in a sort of, well, I'm here, I'm 9 to 5, I will work until a certain age, and then I'll retire, and then I'll die. None of that. We have to look at things through spiritual eyes. And we have to try and illuminate others so that they look at things through spiritual eyes too, and then we get real change.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, if non-participation was what was required, I failed. Because I've been screaming out against everything since I think I popped out of my mother's womb. Everything about this planet has always seemed unnatural to me since I was 4 years old. You know, I've discussed that with you before. You know, I wouldn't be doing my show to wake people up, whether it's about the news, whether it's about elections, whether it's about the banking system. You know, I shine the light on everything. I mean, if we're here, you might as well make some noise. You know, years ago, when I had gone through a shift in my work and a lot of my students ended up betraying me, I got really crushed. I don't know, I was like in my early 40s at the time. And I was, you know, throwing myself a pity party. And I said to Spirit, I said, you know, why has everybody abandoned me? You know, just because I took the lead in changing an aspect of spirituality that actually put the onus on the person instead of me being their guru. And the answer I got was very interesting, and it fortified me. The answer I got was a direct sentence, Michael. The voice said to me, you're not here to make friends. You're here to make waves. So that gave me my strength back, and I realized that that's what I'm here for. I am a systems buster. I don't know how else to put it. And, you know, if everybody did that, imagine, you know, how things could change. But, of course, this young man goes on to say that when he gets into conversation with people about politics or voting and how angry, you know, people get when you try to have a different opinion, he's thinking that, how do I just remove myself from the situation and add light to the planet?
Well, you say that that's your view, mentally, spiritually. That's your view, but it's not my view. That's okay for you, but it's not all right for me. And, of course, most of the work that we do is done silently. It's certainly not done face-to-face in opposing people and people becoming angry. It is done in looking at those situations that need change and flooding those situations with light and visualizing change in those areas and being the person in the crowd that acts differently, that works differently, that has a different aim, that isn't about money, that isn't about power, but is about spiritual recognition of all things, and it's about changing this world back to what it was before the experiment that went wrong. So we don't get proof on a daily basis by people coming up to us and saying, that's great. You put light into this and that's changed me. We have to work silently, and it is a sort of friendless thing to do. Your friend is the God within who is urging you to change things here. So you have to work silently, you have to work in isolation often, but never doubt that you are making a difference. As Joseph says, one person working for the light is more powerful than 1,000 people who aren't.
Right.
So the people who are working for the light are incredibly powerful in the true sense. Not in the sense of I'm accumulating money in the bank. Mm-hmm. Not in the sense of I'm the top of the tree in my chosen profession. But in the sense of I am streaming through what I really am into the world. I am celebrating myself as an angelic being and everyone else as an angelic being. I'm celebrating that the light can and does and will change things. And I am celebrating that I am part of God and that you outside of me are also part of God. And I am sending you enough love so that you can illuminate yourselves, look at the ways that you are living and think, yeah, it's about time I made a change as well.
Exactly. Well, you know, you can get back to the spaces between and just use it. Sometimes you just need to put some space between you and another person. But also, a lot of times I look at some people and I realize that they're just in a different space than I am. They may be newly incarnated. They may not have been here many times, many lifetimes. They may not be at the same spiritual level, whatever. And just honor the fact that they're in a space you used to be in at one point.
Yes.
I think that's hard for a lot of people to do. You know, for me, you know, I don't know what it is. You know, maybe I get it from my parents. You know, I can always find common ground to start a conversation with someone. And it's how you talk, you know, and even when I deliver my news, you know, I throw a lot of humor in it because you need that. But if you can find a way to relate and have a little patience and realize this person is in a different space than I am. You know, remember when we used to say that in the 60s? It had a different meaning.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is not everyone is as evolved as you are. And if you can look at people that way, it might make it a little easier to relate to them.
Yes, and to love what they really are, no matter what you perceive them as having done. At core, they are an angelic being, just as you are. And you begin to look at what people do as part of the shell of what they are and not the core of what they are. And if you communicate with them core to core, in other words, I'm an angelic being, I reach out to you. Of course, you're not saying this, you are thinking this towards them. I reach out to you as an angelic being. The love from my center reaches out to the love and light at your center. Then, as you say, there are dramatic changes in people. And the common ground becomes apparent. And you can communicate spiritually. And people change totally. Because very often, they're not reached out to in that way. The traits in their personality that people see as troublesome are reinforced because they see them as troublesome. So it's quite right that we shouldn't see each person as troublesome. We should see them as a soul that is equal to us, equally deserving of love, and just needing an opportunity to shine, literally to shine spiritually.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least, he asks how to send light. When you talk about sending light to the planet and all the systems and whatnot, he says, is it as simple as visualizing light coming to the planet, people, animals, trees, etc.?
Yes, it is. But it's also, it's coming to the planet and trees and animals and other people from you. From you sitting there and drawing that light out from your center. So it's not as though you're visualizing it somewhere else and you're directing it to the planet. You are directing it as a beam, as a radiation of light from within yourself. It's as though you can breathe in air and breathe out light to whatever situation you want to put light into. Also, if you have difficulty visualizing light, imagine loving your pet. Imagine your dog jumps on your knee and you think, oh, I love this dog. This is great. Well, it's a transmission of light. So send your love out as well. It's the same thing. Send your love out, send your light out. It is simple. We make things complex here, which is why we're in the mess we're in the first place. So yes, it is simple because God doesn't hide himself, herself, itself in complexity. All the aspects of God are on view. We think they're secrets, but they're on view. All right. One of the greatest aspects is love, of course, and light, of course. And so we just send those things out. We envelop people in them. We envelop the animal kingdom in them, the trees, the oceans, the planet itself, situations in our own life. Light changes all. It's just a matter of getting to that point of silence and simplicity and enveloping whatever we want to envelop in that light that changes things.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that reminds me, you know, many years ago, God, decades now, when I studied with Sun Bear, one of the things he taught was that everything in nature can tell when a two-legged is doing something sacred. And I'll explain that. Many years after that, when I used to do public medicine wheels out on the open desert, as soon as I would light the sage, Michael, the coyotes would start howling. Now, everybody thought I had a record player with the sound on it, and they would get all excited. But the truth of the matter is, it was the coyotes. And when my students would ask, you know, isn't that great? You know, because it was pretty thrilling, I will admit. And I would tell them the same thing. I says, even the animal kingdom knows when the two-legged is doing something sacred. And that was their way of letting us know that they were one with us.
Yes, yes. Harmonizing with the divas, harmonizing with the animal forms.
Exactly. Yes. You know, one day we even had about 20 cows that decided to walk on over. And one of them brought her a little baby cow right into the medicine wheel. And it was so thrilling because the cow actually had such respect for everything inside that wheel. But I will tell you, it was pretty funny. I had a little statue of Buddha in the wheel, and it was the only thing she knocked over with her face. And I thought, coming from a cow, that was pretty intense.
Wonderful story.
Right. But I mean, listen, the spiritual journey is supposed to be fun and not complicated, as you just said. But I think religion has made so much dogma and so much complication. And it's not just religion. I see it in the New Agers, too. You know, they have such convoluted teachings and, you know, all these different weird things. And when my students come to me and ask me about it, I tell them, if it's convoluted, it can't be real. Okay.
Absolutely.
Real spirituality is very simple.
Yes.
So, but I think religion has had a lot to do with that. You know, you remember, you may or may not remember, you know, somebody was asking me, you know, what made your father become a Jehovah's Witness? And I said, you have to understand, my father was a Roman Catholic. And up to that point, I don't know how old he was probably in his mid-30s. He never even got to read the Bible. The Catholic Church didn't allow you to read the Bible. It was written in Latin. So
yes.
Then seeing people that were actually reading their Bible and flipping through it like they wrote it, that's how, you know, knowledgeable they were, really caught his eye. So, you know, the point of that story is the church always made it very convoluted. I'm sure you remember Mass being in Latin.
I, as an altar boy, used to have to say the Mass in Latin.
No, I'm
so
sorry.
So we would get there at 7 o'clock in the morning. I think we did 1 week on and 3 weeks off as a 10-year-old, and read the whole Mass from a card in Latin with certain rituals at certain points, and we hadn't a clue what it was about.
Exactly.
Not a clue.
Exactly. So, you know, when I have people come up to me, because there's so many charlatans out there, and tell me about, you know, this guy and what he's selling and this one and what they're pushing, I just look at it, and if it looks deep and complicated, I immediately know that it's BS.
Yes, indeed.
Because if, you know, and this was something I used to say even to, you know, the elders in my congregation. I said, how can you tell us that God is love and then give us all these complications and say, well, that's just a mystery. Okay. Well,
yeah.
What parent tells their child, well, I'd like to tell you this, but it's a mystery. They don't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. God does not have any secrets from us. We've put the barriers up. Again, we've invested in society and religion that allows us to think, suggests or dictates that we think in a certain way. One of the greatest gifts we have is to be able to think freely and for ourselves. And that is another thing that we can do in order to bring light into this world, to have the boldness to question, to have the boldness to look at situations and think, this doesn't make sense to me. For example, when I was an altar boy and growing into my teenage years, I thought, hang on a minute, how come I can forgive people who bully me, because they used to at the time, or say things about me, and yet God can't? How come I can forgive certain things that have happened to me and say to the people, it doesn't matter, and instead God is saying, according to the dictates of my religion, that he will burn someone forever in hell if they act in a certain way? It made no sense to me whatsoever. And at that point I started to think my way out of the shackles, the confines that my religion had put me in.
Exactly. Well, that's a common story. I hear it from a lot of people, and myself included. But like I said, you know, earlier, remember to honor people for being in a different space than you're in. Okay.
Yes, indeed.
Because they may catch up in this lifetime, or they may not catch up in this lifetime, but everybody's journey is individual.
Yes, indeed.
So, you know, sometimes you just got to have a little patience. Michael, I wanted to get to your book, The Spaces Between, The Unseen
Yes.
Forces That Shape Your Life. And I think the book is magnificent. For anybody listening, if you don't already have it, make sure you do get a copy of it. You talk about thoughts that may or may not be your own. And I think that that's an important place to start. Because a lot
Yes.
of times people think they're doing what they want to do, but then they, you know, are those thoughts really their own, or are they coming from unseen forces?
Yes. And there's a long history of temptation, isn't there, in religion. You're being tempted. And people think they are tempting themselves. And they find that there are thoughts that come into their minds. And they think, I don't want to think that way. But they seem unable to resist them. And they say, well, those are my thoughts. I'm tempting myself. Well, hang on a minute. If it's something you don't want to do, and it's something that you wouldn't normally entertain, where are those thoughts coming from? And we have to remember that there are, just as we've talked about people being on different levels of spiritual evolution here, there are spirits on different levels of evolution that are non-corporeal. And so there are spirits who are reluctant to leave this earth because of certain aspects of earth life that they have grown fond of, that they obsess over. For example, drink. There's an example in the book about drink.
Mm-hmm.
And that someone who finds it very difficult to control the amount of alcohol they drink is sometimes being influenced by somebody non-corporeal but still hasn't moved away from the earth plane, who wishes to to have that sensation of alcohol once again. Now, what can they do? They can't pick up a drink. Mm. If they try and put their hand through around a glass of whiskey, it will go through the glass. They can't pour themselves a drink. But what they can do is try and influence someone here to have a drink. And when that person has a drink and gives in to that temptation, in inverted commas, they press their aura against the aura of the person having the drink, and it's almost as though they're having the drink themselves. And so there are quiet voices saying, go on, have another drink, have another cigarette,
right.
You know, and various other things in life. Not that these things are terrible, but they are terrible if they are in control of us. And so very often it's because we're being influenced by someone that we can't see that we have such difficulty in giving up some of the aspects of life that we want to give up.
Hmm. Yeah, when I was reading that part, I was thinking about how I do the flip side of that. You know, if it's one of my parents' birthdays or an occasion or Mother's Day, Father's Day. So what I do is kind of like the flip side of that. I'll make their favorite food so they can smell it. I'll put on their favorite music so they can hear it, even though it's mostly Italian opera. But I suffer through it. And it's kind of another means of communication with unseen forces that maybe are not shaping your life, but almost as a little gift to say, look, I remember you. So these unseen forces you're talking about that can influence your actions, your thoughts, are they the ones that hang around in the lower astral? And what is the lower astral?
Well, the lower astral is a vibration that certain people have put themselves into because they haven't raised their vibration enough whilst they were on Earth. Now, I don't want to frighten listeners, and I must say for 99.99% of people around the Earth, they ain't going to the lower astral. But there are people who are so steeped in the depravities and cruelties of this world that becomes their way of life. They don't want to think on a higher vibration. They don't want to act on a higher vibration. And so because they have restricted themselves vibrationally, because they haven't elevated themselves vibrationally at all, there's nowhere for them to go once they leave this Earth behind. And so they can only go to an area of reality, in inverted commas, that vibrates at the same level as they do. And so they find themselves in an area that has a great lack of light and is populated by people who are just like them, which must be one of the most terrible things, in reality, to come across. People who are just like you. So all those things you've been trying to hide for a lifetime, but doing because you enjoy them, are reflected back to you by the people that you find yourself surrounded by in the lower astral. Now, that's not a hell. It is a hell in that it's a dreadful, dreadful experience. But as has been said in one of the books, it's as simple as wanting to be on a higher level and asking for help that gets you out of the lower astral. So the minute that you recognize that the way you are living is not conducive to spiritual evolution, is not helping anyone, including yourself, and you seek for something more noble, more giving, more loving, more harmonious, then you're on the path to getting out of the lower astral and into one of these spiritual cleansing spheres, and off you go on the path of evolution that we all follow.
Well said. Well, we'll also, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we'll talk about how you can liberate yourself from these types of beings. We'll call them beings. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, Maria here. As you know, I always talk about spirituality being your only ticket out of here. You may or may not be familiar with Usui Reiki, but I've been a Usui Reiki master for almost 30 years. You may also not know that you can come in person and get your Reiki attunements with me anytime you'd like. I've had people fly here, even from another country, to get their Reiki attunements with me. Why? Because they trust me. Reiki is a wonderful thing, and it's the best way to develop your own intuition naturally. You don't need to do anything. The attunements start honing in on your intuition and developing it. It's great for self-healing. It's great for healing others. And it automatically starts to eliminate your karma. I do keep these sessions intimate. I've always taught it one-on-one, and that's the way I will continue to. So if you're interested in that, making a weekend out of it, that would be great. Just send me an email at maria@maria.net, and we'll figure out the best time and how to do it. So remember, what I always say, we are all here building our next house. Might as well use every tool available to us. Thanks. Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Null Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do 4 shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe, because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks. Okay, welcome back to The Bigger Picture with myself and Michael Rick here. If you're not familiar with the work, get over to josephspeaks.com. There's a live link right here. And again, we're talking about his latest book, The Spaces Between, Unseen Forces That Shape Your Life. You know, everybody thinks they just walk around and they're invincible on this planet, Michael. I've been reminding not just my students, my friends, whoever I'm talking to, I constantly tell them, whatever your spiritual program is, you need to work it at least twice a day now. You know, as you and I have discussed on so many shows, you know, the energy of this field right now is set to negative. And I think that there's a lot of creatures from the lower astral attacking people here, because it looks like everybody's going nuts.
Yes, indeed.
So people need to learn how.
The more that we invest in that vibration, the more that we are attacked, of course.
Right.
And as you say, Maria, it's really important that we start our days and end our days by reminding ourselves who we are, by aligning ourselves with the God within, and by asking for guidance from our greater selves and protection from our greater selves, so that we are faced with the right challenges and face them in the right way during each day of our lives.
Absolutely. So, you know, you talk about, and it was right after the part I read about, whether your thoughts are your own or whether your thoughts belong to someone else, how to liberate yourself. And of course, you mentioned chakra protection.
Yes, yes. And I think at this point we should mention that discarnate human spirits are not the only form of attack that we come under. We also come under attack by thought forms, partially sentient or sentient to a low degree, that look at our chakras and think, ooh, that would make a tasty meal, and like the amount of light that we give off from our chakras and attach ourselves to the major chakra points, and then keep us at a low level of vibration so that they can absorb energy from us at a vibration that's similar to theirs. In other words, if we are in pain, they will attempt to keep us in pain. If we are depressed, they will attempt to keep us depressed, because it's in their interests to keep us at that low level so they can absorb energy. And how often have we said, you know, in our lives, suddenly I'm depressed, I don't know why.
Right.
Or I've been talking to someone and I'm depressed and I can't shake it off.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, chakra protection is important, but there's information in the book as to how to recognize that you have one of these. Joseph actually calls them feeders, which is a very pleasant term for them.
Feeders.
To recognize that you have one of these, I suppose you could describe them as slug-like entities connected to one or more of your principal chakras, and how to get rid of them by putting light into them and to make sure that you seal the principal chakras so that they can't reattach.
Exactly. Feeders. You know, I think about Carlos Castaneda basically described what he called inorganic beings in his last book, The Art of Dreaming. And that was pretty terrifying. All right. The way he writes about them is pretty terrifying. So I often warn people, don't think that you can do any kind of out of body work without someone who really knows their stuff guiding you through it. because you could end up in a space you can't get out of.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And these things are quite disturbing to look at as well. I've seen them on many occasions. And as you'll know, Maria, if you're working mediumistically, you're working spiritually, very often these things try to clamp onto you. And it is surprising that the world that we think is so safe and so secure and that we know it so well is only a small percentage of the full story. We have to be aware that there are other influences that can influence us, not only in negative ways, of course, but also in positive ways.
Right.
There are great shining spirits who attempt to influence us too. But we have to know our enemy. We have to know what's out there and how to deal with it if we're going to work openly and spiritually.
Absolutely. And, you know, how many times do people say, you know, I'm just not feeling like myself today?
Yes.
Well, then
yes,
who are you feeling like, you know? That's where you got to take a break and say, well, who am I feeling like? You know, Matahari,
yes.
Caligula, who am I feeling like today?
Yes.
Because not everything, and you know, I got to put a lot of the blame on the so-called New Age movement. You know, the love and light crowd, the rainbows in the sky crowd. You know, they make it seem like everything is, you know, candy and marshmallows out there. And they really don't prepare people for what other types of beings you can encounter.
Yes. And if it was candy and marshmallows out there, why is the earth in such a mess? Why do we seem not to change or to be able to effect change? And the reason is because we are part of this, not matrix, but soup of creation, within which exist positive forces, yes, but also negative forces. And that's why we're trying to bring light in, because light dissipates those forces and gives people a chance to a breathing space to examine how they are as the people they are without the influences that they can't see around them and connected to them.
Right. So let me ask you this. Are children also vulnerable to these types of, I'm going to call them attacks, okay, attacks, deadly Klingons, whatever you want to call it. I've been calling them deadly Klingons for years.
Yes.
Are children vulnerable? You know, look at so many children that are off balance, okay? And I'm not saying, you know, they all are, because there's magnificent children on this planet right now.
Yes.
But you look at all the children that are drugged out. The ones that, you know, they got a label right away. This kid's ADD, this kid's autistic, this kid's this, this kid's that. Could it be these unseen influences affecting these children?
Absolutely, because we have to understand that the children here are not children at heart. Children at heart are spiritual beings that have existed forever, have existed since God pushed them forward into this illusion of individuality, and that behind the illusion of the being children is a fully formed and ancient spiritual angelic being. So they are equally prey to negative forces as adults are. It's not a judgment, it's just the way that things work here, because they will give out a certain amount of light, and that light is attractive as energy to those entities and those spirits who have not yet learned better. It's interesting that, as you say, they are diagnosed with this problem and that problem. If only we had people who could see spiritually, working in tandem with the medical profession and the psychiatric profession, and if they would accept that they at times need people to be able to see into other realities, then we would have so many more cures, and we will be able to help people in real positive ways. But of course, we're not accepted. We're crackpots. We don't know what we're talking about.
Right. So let's just drug these kids into Never Never Land and push them in the heap, you know, the garbage heap. You know, listen, sometimes, you know, I'm not saying that sometimes there isn't something chemically or biologically wrong with someone, but I agree with you. I think that they just generalize it too much to silence these children, because, you know, a lot of these new kids, they've got a lot of information, and they don't want these kids to rock the boat, but I don't think that they can control this generation like they did previous generations.
Yeah, and that's a worry to them. That's the worry to them.
That's too bad for them.
Yes, the children have a great deal to say. And there are children coming in from all over the globe that are attempting to enlighten souls as we're attempting to enlighten souls. It's an important mission, because if we don't enlighten souls, then the end of society is inevitable. It's not inevitable at this point, but we're heading very quickly towards a point where it is inevitable. And so brave souls decide to incarnate to bring through the light, to bring through a different way of thinking. But as soon as they get to the earth plane, there are so many temptations, there are so many things to take them off course, it must be heartbreaking to the group souls that those children are a part of to see them being diverted from a mission that must have taken years and years in our terms to set up, to bring light to people. And there are so many attacks. So children need to be held in the light. And if you have a special child who can see spiritually, then that shouldn't be discouraged. That should be encouraged, and a proper, a competent spiritual teacher and protector found for those children so that they can develop and fulfill the mission that they've come here to fulfill.
Absolutely. And I can tell you, there's nothing more pleasurable than working with those children, because I've had the pleasure and still do of working with these children. And they're just, they blow my mind. They're just unbelievable. They're magnificent. Even though, you know, the media wants to let everybody think that, you know, there's something terribly wrong with this generation. That's such a fallacy. And then you can see the fear coming from the media as well, which is another system that needs to go. So if you have a child like this, and let's just say the kid is too small or too young to protect themselves, what can a parent do to make sure their children are legit?
That they envelop that child in light. If they are used to looking at the key chakra points, they make sure that that child, when it is not working spiritually, and it can work spiritually on a subconscious level, of course, when it's too young to work spiritually on a conscious level, make sure that that child's chakras are closed, to visualize those principal chakras as being closed and sealed, and, of course, to ask from the God within that that child be protected, and to make sure that that child is protected and nurtured and loved so that it can grow up and not lose its spiritual abilities, not fit into society and forget about that aspect of itself that is the reason that it's come here. So we have to hold those children in light, and we have to encourage them to work spiritually. And we have to surround them with our love in all circumstances, and ask for help. Ask for help from within, ask for help from their soul groups, ask for help from the God within and without, that they be protected and guided and taken, directed to the people who can help them to evolve spiritually, the teachers that they need to blossom.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and if people have Reiki, which a lot of my listeners, I'm sure do, you know, you can send Reiki to that child. You can give the child Reiki treatments, you know, and during the treatment, you know, shut down their chakras and whatnot. For me, I have to tell you, Michael, I was there when both my granddaughters were born. And the second they put them on the table to clean them off, I was standing there with the nurses already attuning them in Reiki. And it was crazy, because it's like no one noticed me, even though I was standing right there with the nurses. No one noticed. No one said, "What are you doing?" No one. It was like I was invisible, but I was there.
That's an amusing aspect, isn't it, of what we do? Because we seem to be slightly out of phase with regard to everyone else's vibration.
I know.
I'm sure it happens to you as it happens to me, Maria. In that, if I'm walking down a street, nobody notices me until they bump into me.
Right.
It's as though I'm not there. Their mind slides off this slightly different vibration.
Well, sometimes I do.
It seems to happen with a lot of spiritual workers.
Sometimes I deliberately do that. If I'm out at a restaurant with my friends, I'll just like cloak the table so no one bothers us, so no one sees us. And when we leave, my friends might talk about someone else that was in the restaurant or the waiter or whatnot, and I'm like, who? Because to me, they didn't even exist. I was in a separate space.
Yes.
So,
indeed.
You know, I know it kind of has a weird connection to your book, even though we didn't talk about it. But, you know, there's also being able as a spiritual person to put yourself in a different space.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to be 24 hours tied to this illusion. You can. There are ways of separating yourself and putting yourself in a much more delightful space as you move through your day than everyone else is in.
Yeah. Linking to that bliss that we have within. And that peace that comes over you when you've connected to that higher vibration or when you've had communication from the higher vibration. That lasting peace, whereas peace here is temporary, that there is that feeling of permanence and linking into something that is unchanging, that is wonderful and what we really are. And yes, of course, you can experience it here and now. And in experiencing it here and now, you give off that vibration to others. Other people are able to share in that lifted vibration that you're sending out to them. And that lifts them up too.
Right.
So the whole process is lifting yourself up, and you lift everyone else up, and they lift the people beneath them vibrationally up, and we're making a difference, and we're pulling people up by their bootstraps, day by day, meditation by meditation, so that they recognize at last who they are and start to live life in a completely different way.
Absolutely. You know, you go into, and it's probably going to be a long topic. We might have to pick it up on our next show. But you talk about in the book these entities, and I forget if someone had asked the question of Joseph or not. Are there real demons and ghosts?
Mm.
And I know to a lot of people that really scares them, especially because religion makes them so terrifying. TV makes them so terrifying. Are there real demons and ghosts?
Yes, of course there are. The ghosts are simply spirits who haven't moved on. I'm sure they'd be insulted if they thought that we were talking, titling them ghosts. But yes, they haven't moved on, and they need to move on, and it needs someone who can see them to talk to them and ask for advice from higher vibrations in order to move them on. Demons, as you say, something that we could discuss at length, perhaps in another show, but yes, they do exist, and they're not what you expect them to be. Most of the things from legend have a basis in fact, and a lot of the book looks at various aspects of what we would think are legends and says, look, here's the legend, here's the fact. Here's why you've got the legend, because it was once known as an absolute truth, but we've masked it. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, there are demonic forces, but they're not what we think they are. And their origin, unfortunately, their corruption, lies, as with so many things, with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I don't know if you how much American TV you get where you're at. But there's a new show, actually, when they try to take it off TV here, people went crazy so much that Netflix decided to produce the next series of it. And it's called Lucifer.
I haven't seen it. I've seen trailers for it.
First of all, it's one of my favorite shows ever. The actor that plays Lucifer is great. But the interesting thing is, you look at the show, and when fans force people to continue a show, you know, it's pretty good. But when you watch the show, they show you both sides of Lucifer, the bad side and the angelic side. So a lot of people are learning some truth watching that, even though it's high entertainment, make no mistake about it. But they present him as the son of God. They present him as a compassionate person and also as a killer, whatever it is he needs to do. And I think it's in its third season now. I think I just finished watching it. If you get a chance, I think you would really enjoy it because it kind of talks, you know, it kind of talks to what we're just discussing about, you know, the legend versus the facts.
And also
the yin and yang, you know, everything in the universe has its opposite.
Yes, and that was originally the purpose of the yin and yang. We've corrupted it here. But the opposing forces, or the contrasting forces, or complementing forces, we use as angelic beings to create worlds, to create universes, to create experiences that we can move through, and as a result of absorbing those experiences, take those experiences back to the Godhead so that the Godhead becomes more. Again, it's a case of corruption here of the energies that are part of us as angelic beings that we use in order to create.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So listen, everybody's got it in them. You know what I mean? I'm sure you remember those cartoons when we were little kids where a child had to make a decision, and on one shoulder they had a little angel, and on the other one they had a little devil with a pitchfork.
Yeah.
And you know, in a way they were teaching us a lot, because everybody has that in them, you know, to say that you don't have a violent streak or whatever, you don't have bad thoughts is unreasonable. I think the difference is, you know, whether you act on them or not.
And understanding why they're there and how they've been corrupted here, and that they are tools that we use as angelic beings in their purest form, where they don't harm anybody. But they come together to create experience, and then to take down that experience when it's no longer necessary, to take it away from creation, and then to put together different aspects of creation to investigate. So it's destruction and creation on an angelic level that harms no one and benefits all.
Absolutely. Well, Michael, this was another one of those speedy hours talking with you. So,
doesn't it go quickly?
Yes, it does. And I look forward to our next show. So you take good care, and hugs all around.
And to you, Maria. You take care of yourself. God bless.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Michael Rakia, check his work out, josephspeaks.com. Which book do I recommend? All of them. Okay, well, there you have it. Listen, tomorrow I'm going to normally do the new show, but I'm probably going to put it up early. Because I have an appointment I've got to make. But you'll have all the news that's fit to know. So thanks for supporting the show, and I'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information, all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.